You are listening to the Inform and Connect podcast, a production of the American Foundation for the Blind. To learn more about AFB, visit our website at www.afb.org. And now your host, Melody Goodspeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another fun-filled day of the Inform and Connect podcast. I am here with Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Melody.
It is so much fun to see you today. How's it going?
It is going wonderful. I'm so excited that fall is finally here.
I know, me too. And I got to tell you something funny. My daughter was like, Mommy, can we like get into a leaf? Like, we need to get a pile of leaves like right now and jump in them. And I'm like, yes, we definitely do. The problem is we only have pine needles and I don't feel like that's a good jumping experience. Thoughts on that?
I live in downtown Baltimore, so we don't have much trees. And if there's any leaves, they're very suspect in what's underneath them. So,
well, this is true too. So there will be no leaf jumping with you,
I guess, either. Reindeer games in big city.
Yeah, so it's the disappointment when her voice was so real, and honestly, mine too. So I feel like I need to go find some
play those great pumpkin games.
Yes, I need to go find somebody who's got trustworthy leaves. I guess I don't know. We'll call it that. Speaking of kids, our guest today is also, we you can bring him in here, is going to be a father again a second time, and I'm super excited about that. We are so happy to have Peter with us from Spectrum. And Peter, I'm so glad to hear you have you here. And I am not going to say your last name because I butcher it every time. And when you say it, it's so beautiful. So Peter, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Can you give us your last name, buddy? Because, it just rolled right off your tongue. I can't do it.
Kucheryavin.
Do y'all now see why I can't?
Doesn't fit well. Ukrainian and Southern dialect.
Yes.
I think they flow very well together. A lot of the majority of my immediate family actually lives in the Atlanta, Georgia area. That's where we moved when I came to the States. And so it's actually really beautiful to see how the Southern dialect and the Ukrainian accent emerge.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to practice, dude. Now game on for Melody. Well, Peter, we're so excited to have you. I mean, we've been together before. It's been a minute the last time we've done a podcast, but you're with Spectrum, also known as Charter Communication, and have the amazing Spectrum Access app, which I use constantly. Thank you guys so much for creating that. So I would love to dive into everything that's been going on. I know we only have a short amount of time, so we can get some of it. But number one, congratulations on being a dad again.
Thank you so much. Very exciting.
That is very
exciting. This will be your second kid.
That's right. I have a boy and that's a girl in the way. So it's very exciting. Yeah.
The big question is for the older kid who's going to be the big brother. Because he's also probably finally getting to the age for Halloween. Are you guys Halloween?
Oh yeah. Yeah. The Halloween's very exciting now this year. He's not big on sweets like his father. So that's probably a good thing for his well-being. The one thing that I'm really curious about is he's starting to be spooked by things. And I know that from a pumpkin patch fair we went to over the weekend, and there was a skeleton that jumped out, and boy, was he ever scared. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious to see how he does with all of the Halloween antics this
What's
year.
He going to be for Halloween? What's he dressing up as?
I'm going to be a sheriff, a Western, Western, old world sheriff, and he's going to be a little cowboy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What about you, Tony?
I am going to be handing out candy and not dressing up. I'm just sad and not original.
Hey, that's a very important role.
Yes, it is.
They don't care what I dress up as long as I give them candy. So it doesn't matter.
My daughter is going to be Spider Girl. She's pretty jazzed about that.
Nice.
Yes, I'm going to do my rendition of Black Widow because I feel like that is going to be fun. So I'm pretty jazzed about that.
I've got an anime and a Gru from, was it the Minions movies? Was it
that is amazing. That's what your boys are dressing up as?
Yeah, and Oliver's going to, he's not going to totally shave his head, but he's been growing his hair out since the start of the pandemic. And he's finally going to cut his hair. He looks like David Lee Roth right now. His hair is on his back, and he's going to get it cut this weekend. So he can,
nice.
We can wear one of those bald caps.
Are you? That is awesome.
Yeah. But what does that have to do with accessibility in the digital
age? I mean, I think it has everything to do with it. I think Cole's were really cool blind parents that are rocking the Halloween cheer.
Well, I'll give us a bridge back to the audio description world.
Any good?
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Peter, for keeping us on track.
Spectrum Max.
I'll ever dress up as Daredevil, and that was one of the first long shows that I watched with audio description. So one of these years, I'm going to have to satisfy people's requests and do the Daredevil thing.
I mean, we all have superheroes, Peter, as blind individuals. So that sounds amazing.
That was one of my favorites as a kid, hands down.
Well, Peter, tell us all about Spectrum and audio description and all the things. Like, what's new with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we're talking about audio description, it seems appropriate to segue into the Spectrum Access app. We talked about this the last time I was on Melody, and I remember it was a pretty fresh product for us. It was really exciting to get it to market, but it's, you know, it was in its infancy stage. I will say that, you know, there's not anything really dramatic that's happened since then. We're still very much focused on delivering audio description in the same sort of format. But a couple of things have been added to the app that I think are noteworthy that I'd like to share. One big thing that we focused on this year is ease of access. Giving people the ability to sort of maneuver the app a little bit more easily in a way that makes, you know, more sense for where their skill level is to, which, you know, for some people means being able to use their voice to search the app. And so we added what we call a voice navigation feature, but really what it is the ability for you to search content in the Spectrum Access app with your voice to see if, you know, if that content's available. You can just say, you know, Siri or Google or whatever it is that you're using on your phone. I don't want to say it now or else I'll probably wake my own device up, but and then you say search Spectrum Access, and what you'll hear come back is what feature do you want to search for, and then you say the name and you can see whether or not it's available in the app simply by using your voice. And, you know, at some point here in the very near future, we're going to add the ability to submit a request. So if the feature that you were looking for, the title that you spoke was not available, it will give you the ability to submit that title into a bank of your requests that we can then take back to our content partners and demonstrate the desire for users of the app to see their content. This is something that I think users have been asking for a while. Can we submit requests? And I said, well, you certainly can, but they sort of go nowhere. They just come to me and I don't have control over, you know, whether or not the content owners create audio description or share it with us. We're sort of at the mercy of those partnerships. But this gives us a little bit of leverage to demonstrate, and, you know, a good data to demonstrate the desirability of certain titles by the users of the app. So I'm going to heavily promote that feature when it launches because I know it's going to be useful. But in the meantime, that ease of access, just to ask your device whether or not that title's there, I think is already a big step forward. And for our deafblind users, the ability to search the app, enjoy closed captioning via a braille display device was another request that came in. And I'm really proud of this one because we were able to turn this one around rather quickly. I mean, it was probably about a month from the time that I had a conversation with, you know, my now friend, Mark Safman, who's a customer of Spectrum's and he's deafblind and does a lot of advocacy work. But he said, well, it would be nice to, you know, for a deafblind user to be able to consume the captions. You know, he's got a little bit of usable vision, but he's deaf. And he said, I have a hard time keeping up with the captions. So, you know, there's two requests, being able to read them with a braille display device and being able to scroll backward through the captions, because once the block of text is gone, then you have to, if you didn't read it in time, you have to pause the whole thing, rewind it, and it's a whole ordeal. And so we also implemented the scrollable captions. So you can scroll backward, you know, you can magnify them, jump back to the current place. And, you know, I think that I want, would it be helpful if we took a pause here and just explained what the Spectrum Access app is for those who did not listen to the last episode?
Yeah, because it is pretty revolutionary. And so much so that you and your team were recognized as this past year's Helen Keller Achievement Awards recipient. So, you know, Charter
Community. Oh, we're so proud of that.
Well, and we're so excited we had you all in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington for that, because it was really cool. I mean, you know, when you were showing it off at the conference and at the Helen Keller Achievement Awards, I mean, it's just such a neat, it's one of these things that's like, for those that have ever anguished going to the movie theaters and getting those headsets that never work, giving them your ID, hoping you get it back to some college or high school student that you question, you know, and then, or like when you're at home and you just, you know, my kids, you know, always bug me when the audio description's on and the narration, you know, and all that stuff. And they're like, Dad, can we turn this off? You know, and it's just describe it. And cause it is a brilliant thing. That's so glad it's.
Yes,
absolutely. So, for somebody who hasn't used the app or isn't familiar with the concept, it can be a little bit foreign at first, but the idea here is that you have the audio description tracks in this Spectrum Access app that you combine with the experience in the room or in the movie theater where you're watching that movie or show. It's a combined effort here. So you'll turn the movie or show on as you typically would in your home, let's say. I actually had a customer that just sent me a funny clip about Top Gun because I was using Top Gun as an example of a movie that I watched with a Spectrum Access app after it was released from theaters at home, because the audio description didn't follow it to the rented section of the device I was using. I won't give out any names here, but that audio description was available in theaters, but then when it got to, you know, my in-home platform and I clicked on rent, it wasn't there. And so, of course, I pulled up Spectrum Access. It was available, and I used that combination. So what you do is you pull up the track on your device, on your phone. Let's say I have an iPhone. I go into the Spectrum Access app. I pull up Top Gun, and I download the track to make sure that I don't, you know, that I have it available. And then when the movie's playing, I just hit sync on my device, and it'll synchronize with where you are in that movie. And so in effect, what happens is the audio description track has this thing called a fingerprint file that identifies where you are in that particular movie that's in your living room that's playing out loud. It's using the microphone of your device to identify that. Once it does, it pinpoints you to that specific location and drops you into that point in the audio description track. Now, you've got the movie playing on your TV, and you've got the audio description playing on your phone. And you've got a few options here. One is, well, to begin, sometimes you might see two different audio description tracks. One is just the audio description, and the second one is audio description with the full audio. So it'll include the soundtrack of the movie itself as well. What's really helpful about that is if you're like me, you might not want to be in your living room and you don't care about what's happening on the screen. And so you'll you'll do the sink process, turn off your TV, pour yourself a tall glass of wine and head into the backyard and finish watching it just by listening on your phone. Or if you have Bluetooth hearing aids and you want to adjust the sound quality, tonality, and all of that that you typically would for your Bluetooth hearing aids, you don't want to adjust that just for the audio description and then have the movie playing, you know, at a different setting in a room, especially if you're watching the movie with somebody. You want to adjust the sound of both. And so that track is really helpful there. Now, for the audio description only, obviously, the thing that's really helpful here is you can just pop an earbud in your ear and be the only one in the room that hears the audio description in the event that you have kids like Tony does who might not want to be bothered by it or they find it distracting. And I find that, you know, kids sort of fall into two camps. Some are sort of easily distracted by it, whereas others, especially if they have learning disabilities or, you know, they're not as attentive, it sort of helps to reinforce for them what's happening in the movie and they really like it. But either way, you have that option. You can let it play out loud or you can isolate it for yourself.
Yeah, when we went to the American Council of the Blind, we did a survey on audio description and was impressed with the number of people, too, that were not just people who are blind or low vision that were using it, but, too, children within, you know, the autistic community with autism, you know, and then family members and people like that would just leverage it as well. And I interrupted you, Melanie. What were you going to say? But
the good I was going to say my son definitely uses it. I mean, he says it keeps his attention focused. So, yes.
I am on a campaign to demonstrate the value of audio description to non-blind audience because I feel like it's got that reputation. Oh, this is for blind people. So it just doesn't catch as much attention. But when we think about closed captioning, which the app also supports, by the way, the users for closed captioning, I asked in a room just a couple weeks ago, I was giving a presentation and I asked my audience to, you know, say I if they use captions on their TV. And I think there may have been two people in the room that didn't say I, and I think they were blind. Everybody else said I, which tells me that, you know, the statistic that 80% of people who use closed captioning are not even deaf or hard of hearing. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot of people that have caught on to a technology that was intended for a certain audience, but really demonstrated its value beyond that particular demographic. And I think the case can be not only can be made here, but we continue to see this from our, you know, blind friends and colleagues who say, oh, my family members were sighted or my friend. As a matter of fact, I had not even had familiarity with audio description until a sighted person told me about this years ago and said that she really enjoyed the artistry of it. And so we watched the first episode of Breaking Bad together at just with audio description. There was no screen, nothing playing. And it was really, you know, it was really life-changing for me in terms of the way that I enjoyed entertainment because I'd sort of steered away from entertainment, finding that I didn't have the same level of equality and I just couldn't stay connected. And I always had to have somebody describing it to me. And here I was enjoying something with a sighted friend of mine and neither one of us were looking at a TV, but we were both capturing everything. And so, you know, after that, I started to hear other sighted friends of mine who were, you know, Uber driving, you know, on their spare time and binge watching Orange is the New Black or cooking dinner and binge watching Hunger Games, you know, whatever it was, the audio description was starting to give them a way to either enjoy their content in a different way or to continue to consume it when their eyes were distracted.
I am going to join you on that campaign, my friend, because I think it's so true. Like, I think it's so good for educational purposes. Like when I, you know, when my son, for example, was really getting into it, it was a time where reading was a little bit difficult for him. And I think, just getting that attention focused and also with captioning too, I think that, you know, we get so caught up in just using one sense, right? I think when we incorporate as many as we have, that it gives us a whole new level of an experience.
Well, people are so distracted now too. I mean, like you mentioned about keeping focus and, you know, if you're cooking in the kitchen, but too, I mean, go to a movie theater and like a third of the audience is looking at their phone, you know, movie where it's just another one of those things that you can engage people and communicate with them with the story.
Well, and since you said movie theater, Tony, one of the things that I would like to see is, you know, a deepening relationship with some of our content partners, which is already in flux, to really collect not just, you know, the audio description that aids your experience in your home, but also in that movie theater. I know, Melody, you've already mentioned that you've had this experience in a theater with Spectrum Access. And in certain cases, there are movies available in the app that you can find in the theater. But I'm talking about, you know, new releases just hit theaters. Mm-hmm. You show up, you don't have to rely on the in-house service that they have there. It's great that they have it, but as you pointed out, Tony, it's not always optimal. And I love to give this example because I was moving during the pandemic and found this, you know, 1.5-inch deep stack of movie theater tickets that I had collected for all of the experiences that, you know, didn't go well with that box that they have in-house. And so I'd love to rejoin you on this podcast one day when that project is, you know, really soaring. But it's an appeal to our content partners and studios to support us in this mission to bring audio description in a more flexible, independent way to people in the movie theater on their own device, so where they can have that control. And not just audio description, but closed captioning as well. I mean, if they're going to be looking at their phone, they might as well be looking at some audio, some closed captioning to support the experience that they're having. But the audio description for sure, you know, we just know what that experience is like. I'd love to have the app be a pivoting point in that experience. But I know in some cases that that's already true and possible. But I think that, you know, I heard a person say when I first started in the telecom industry that, oh, well, we're a cable company. We're not changing lives here. The interesting thing about working in accessibility is no matter which industry you're in, you actually really are changing a lot of people's lives and experiences because they it opens up doors of opportunities and experiences with their friends and families that they didn't otherwise have. And that's the thing that I think we're after the most with products like Spectrum Access.
Well, you mentioned, Peter, we were talking earlier, like folks that, you know, you've come encounter with, like Peter Korn with Amazon, the name came up. What I love about, you know, as advocates or as, you know, those of us on the indie nonprofit side, right? In working with like you and working with folks like Peter Korn, or if it's, you know, Sarah at Apple, Jenny Le Fleury at Microsoft. I mean, there's such an effort of non-competitiveness within the corporate sector when it comes to digital inclusion in this space, like with what you all are doing with audio description. You know, for a couple of years, I worked with the audio description projects, audio description awards. And, you know, we would have CBS and NBC and, you know, all the networks, really Disney and everybody just really sort of coming together and saying, yeah, let's work together to elevate include, because we all win when media is inclusive, right? Because, I mean, consumers consume across all distributions in a sense. I mean, there's brand loyalty in terms of, you know, where your cable is set up, like Spectrum versus I'm Xfinity. I don't have Spectrum here, unfortunately, in Baltimore. But you know, when it comes to like the content side, making that content accessible, you know, the more we get people to experience that, the better. And so it's just wonderful seeing like how you have, you know, I know in some situations worked with other folks and other industry partner or, you know, like Mind Telecom or other companies. It's always nice because it seems like too, it kind of encourages innovation, right? And because this is, you know, Disney now, there was an app years ago that was an infancy to what Spectrum Access has become, I feel like, where y'all took something and just made it usable and smart and it's been evolving, and it's fantastic to see where it's going to be going.
Yeah, that's, I would say, and my sound might change a little bit. I had to switch rooms here at the office to avoid sound distraction. But my favorite thing about accessibility is what you mentioned, which is that there's not competition, at least not in an unhealthy way, between teams and industries. We all come together at conferences like M-Enabling or CSUN or other notable ones, where we share tactics, techniques, development strategies, design approaches, and all kinds of things that actually help us lift all accessibility boats, so to speak, and all experiences, so that we can elevate the customer journey, customer experience, to one that's equal to that of their sighted or non-disabled peers. And that's really the goal here. It's not to to compete one against the other, but to make sure that we are we're sharing information that eventually comes back around and actually helps us out as well. Because as another team grows and sharpens their tools to innovate in new ways, that pushes the world of accessibility forward, and we all get to benefit from that.
I'm glad you brought up M-Enabling, because I know you and your team were there very recently. That's a conference in Washington, D.C. that really focuses on heavy in the telecom space, the smartphone, the technology space for digital accessibility. But the main subject area this year, in a lot of ways, was like artificial intelligence. And there's so much transformation and evolution that's happening at an enormous rate that it's exciting to think, you know, what you're doing now versus what you were doing 5 years ago. I mean, compare that arc to compare to like what it could be like in 5 years now, you know?
Right.
Like steeper arc towards, you know, the ceiling, you know, getting us into the clouds of inclusion. So
well, that's Peter, go ahead, Melody.
I was going to say, can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I know you've got a lot of fun stuff to say, what you guys are doing in that space too.
Yeah, the world of artificial intelligence, it was a really interesting conference, by the way, and rich conversations about both sides, both on the risk and benefit side of artificial intelligence. And there are both, you know, the risk of the rapid iteration that artificial intelligence offers us, that risk can be enormous. You know, we can move too fast for what we can support or monitor. And, you know, the risk for people with disabilities means that, you know, it could be weeding people with disabilities out of like the employment channel, simply by way of identifying, you know, something with regard to their disability, maybe some access point that they don't have, and it'll just say, well, this candidate is not qualified. All of these things need to be considered, you know, with regard to AI, but then the benefits of AI, and you mentioned Jenny Lei Fleury from Microsoft. She did a keynote presentation on, you know, the future of AI and its impact on people with disabilities, and mostly focused on the positive nature of that, you know, with tools like, you know, Be My AI and the Be My Eyes app, which is really unique. I started using it in airport settings and found it to be really incredible, the amount of description that it provides. These kinds of tools open, you know, like I said earlier, they open those new doors of opportunity for people with disabilities on the access front. And it can be really incredible and helpful. I mean, even tools like voice search, you know, to be able to search for things with your voice, something has to be processing all that information, searching against a database, and sharpening its ability to do that faster, better, more accurately, more efficiently. And the thing that's going to power that is going to be AI, and in many cases already is. So, you know, I mentioned voice search for the Spectrum Access app, but we've got a new product out in the marketplace that just launched this month called Xumo, X-U-M-O. And it's available to customers now. And it's a essentially, I mean, think of any other IP box that you connect to your TV that gives you access to a variety of apps that you would watch, you know, all of your favorite streaming apps, including the Spectrum TV app, right? You might have that experience covered with a set-top box and you feel like that's good, that covers all your bases and you're good with that. Well, there's some people who don't have a set-top box or have cut the cord, so to speak. Well, for those experiences, to have anything like a set-top box experience is just, it's not likely. I mean, you're going to have a streaming experience for the most part. But what if we could combine the streaming experience with the set-top box sort of guide experience, if you will, into one place? And that's what we did with Xumo. It's a joint venture project between Spectrum and Xfinity, or Charter and Comcast as the parent companies. And it's been a really interesting development because it gives our customers the ability to voice search. And it's a really sophisticated system that processes that voice search to give you the most relevant search results possible. Meaning, if you're a Spectrum customer and you do a voice search for, say, Tom Cruise, what you want to pop up at the top of your list is content that you have access to, that you've already paid for, subscribed to. You don't want to get complicated search results that you then have to click on, find out how much you have to pay for, and so on and so forth. And so that's what this experience does. It processes those search results and gives you really meaningful results that you can actually do something with, you know, watch or enjoy. And then you can search for a movie title. You can search for an actor name. You can search for a channel. And in fact, the Xumo box, unlike other IP boxes, actually comes with a numeric keypad, sort of like a set-top box remote. So you can actually enter in those channel numbers if that's what you're used to. So, you know, these are the kinds of technologies. I'm slipping in here a new product launch as we talk about AI and how it powers some of these tools. But, you know, for those customers, Spectrum customers who've been asking for voice input for a long time, I think that this fills that gap.
And I'm sure it has the accessible menu controls and things like that.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, at launch, you know, one of the most important experiences for us to hone in was the Spectrum TV app and that entire Spectrum experience that you have with that box and with that remote. And so that's come to launch very accessibly, and hoping to learn more and focus more on you know, other app experiences and how they come into play with the accessibility settings of that box. So, you know, I think that, you know, as any product launch happens, there's always some things that are going to work really, really well, and some things that we might need to iron out. We've actually been really surprised at how good things have gone with the launch. That's really great. But yeah, the accessibility features, all of that. There are some shortcuts in the remote, and we're building out some learning tools that customers, some self-support learning tools that customers can access on spectrum.net/accessibility. All that's going to be there. Our customer support team for customers with disabilities is going to have a lot more training around the product as well, so they can support customers who call in. So yeah, there's going to be a whole body of accessibility knowledge and access that exists with the Xumo box. And by the way, I think it's really important that I mention this, because for those who are used to guide narration being the name of the text-to-speech engine on our set-top box, the name of this particular text-to-speech engine on Xumo is called Voice Guidance. So there's just a little distinction there.
Good to know, though. It's a good thing to convey. Fantastic, man. So you haven't really done anything then since last year? Just
not at all. Just
no.
Yeah, feet up in the air, watching how things go. No, I, you know, the really cool thing is our team is about 52% people with disabilities, our accessibility team. And so you can imagine that not only do we have, you know, that sort of sense of purpose in the work that we do, but it's also really personal. So yeah. There's just a ton of passion that that we're constantly trying to harness that passion and also sort of moderate it, because we get really excited and we want to do absolutely everything in the world because we know what experiences we're looking for ourselves. But also the relationships that we build in the community with organizations like the American Foundation for the Blind, other disability groups as well. I mean, these relationships are crucial to us. The conferences that we attend, the people that we meet, the input that we get. Our disability community has become an extension of our team, because that input flows directly to our product teams, and we find ways to solve for existing problems. We're not out to, I mean, look, this is a cliche statement, but we're not out to meet some compliance standard here, but to actually create real enjoyable experiences. And that is a journey. It's never a point where you stop and kick your feet up and you say, well, we're done. Now we get to just watch the fruit of our labor. There's always more to do.
And I love how you put that, because I mean, as we've put here, I mean, we're able to open doors for not just disabilities, right? Like that whole testing of wanting to see, you know, how other people are enjoying things. The more we create, the more we bring to everyone in society. And I think that's so incredibly important.
That's right. And I mean, I want to tie what you just said to a comment from earlier, which is, when we say everyone, when we create accessible products, we really, oftentimes our focus is the disability community. That's who we're working for. We're trying to create equal experiences for people with disabilities. But the unintended consequence of that, which is becoming a more intended consequence, is that other people catch on to the benefits of those tools, features, or products, and it starts to bleed into the non-disabled world as well. And that really is an everyone thing. We end up benefiting everyone. I mean, we sharpen our tools for the disability community to start with, but then it becomes a message of, you know, hey, you like voice access, don't you? You like the idea of that. Maybe you could use it too. And before you know it, half of America has a smart device in their home that they can speak to, or their kids can play Baby Shark on, or whatever it is, you know, and annoy the rest of the family. Everybody's using it.
I know, I kind of twitched a little when you said Baby Shark. Sorry.
That's right. Parents know.
Yes.
That's the thing, is that it eventually becomes, you know, an adoption by the mass society. And I wish that, I wish we did a better job of marketing that, because a lot of people who ask somebody who works in the space of accessibility, well, how many customers do we have that are blind? How many people does this really impact? It's so difficult to communicate that, yes, that's who we're trying to level the playing field for, but you have no idea how many products you use, from, you know, voice activated devices to elevators to, you know, a whole variety of, you know, daily gadgets that you interact with, that had their start in the world of, you know, access for people with disabilities, and became a mass adoption, you know, tool, product, or option that they have available to them. And so that's probably, as people with disabilities, that's a marketing you know, area of opportunity for us to really demonstrate what the work that we're doing is actually really for all of our customers. It's for everybody. It's not just the people with disabilities, but boy, does it help level the playing field for those folks first.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. It's, you know, it's so incredibly true. When you're working on something, I think anything in life is like that. If you have your intention set, it's going to have a connection to something else. Right. And I think, you know, when I was talking, giving a speech about something a couple of months ago, and someone brought up the raised their hand and was like, well, That's great if we make it accessible for someone who has a disability, but I mean, would there only be like one or two people we'd have to spend all that money for? And that mm-hmm. mindset has got to shift. Like it's exactly just right. got to shift. And you know, when you're the one with the microphone being asked that question, there's so many things you want to say that you just can't at that point. But I mean, it's a mindset that definitely needs to be shifting into more of a curiosity mode of how that could impact business overall. So thanks for bringing that up. And I would definitely support that effort too.
Well, and there are, you know, companies like Accenture and others who have done deep dive. And the AFB is a team of researchers as well. So there's a lot of great research that's coming out of your organization to really show what accessibility, the ultimate consequences of creating accessible products and tools really is, which is, you know, at least on the business side, which of course working in the corporate space that we're not a nonprofit. So maintaining, you know, a healthy profit margin and staying, you know, sticking around is really important. Well, we've got so much research now that points to the fact that when you include just 1% more of people with disabilities into the marketplace, you know, as employees, for instance, you generate, you know, tons of money into the, you know, into the economy. And that's just, you know, each 1% generates, you know, millions and billions of dollars more because it starts, you know, it means that people are making healthy salaries, they're spending that money. And, you know, and people with disabilities now have ways to spend their money because they have a lot more points. And it's sort of this cycle that continues and generates more and more profit. We saw that, you know, with the introduction of civil rights in the 60s, when, you know, a whole marginalized group of people in the United States were all of a sudden gaining access to the American economy, both as earners and as spenders, and what that was able to do, not only for Black Americans, but for the American economy too. Both things can coexist. You can generate profits and positively impact people's lives. And I say this to marketers who say, well, we don't want to market people with disabilities. That seems like we're trying to market to people with disabilities. That can't be seen as a good thing, right? And I said, absolutely wrong. It's a very good thing. If you're marketing to me, that means you respect me as a customer. You respect me as an equal member of society, as somebody who, you know, has capital to spend. And that means that you see me as an equal. So of course I want you to market to me and be as specific as you want to be. You know, I don't mind, because I also want to know, what do you have that can benefit my life? So I think that this topic of, you know, sort of separating people with disabilities and helping people with disabilities, separating that out from profits and conversations about money, is probably not the best way to go about it, because that's how you maintain a model of pity and charity for people with disabilities rather than, you know, integration, which is what we ultimately want.
We're consumers. Everybody wants to be included.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. I agree. Yes. Well, I just, Peter, I love all of this. I want to tell everybody here a little shout out. If you, the Spectrum Access app is free to all. I encourage everyone who's listening to this to download the app to your iPhone or your Android or any smartphone, right, Peter? It's every smartphone in the world.
Every smartphone in the United States. That's right.
And to go ahead and try it out. Because it's free and it's fantastic. And, you know, Peter's fabulous and his team. And Peter, if we want to keep up with everything that you're doing, where can people go?
So if you want to learn more about Spectrum Access, or you have input, feedback, questions, spectrumaccess@charter.com is the inbox that I manage for that specific product. So you can find me there, spectrum.net/accessibility. Spectrum.net is our customer self-support portal where our customers can go. So if you're a Spectrum customer, spectrum.net slash accessibility is where you'll find all of our accessibility self-support tools, knowledge, information, videos, all kinds of helpful information about what we offer in the world of accessibility. And again, if you're a Spectrum customer and maybe your ears perked when I said customer service for people with disabilities, we do have a team that's dedicated to people with disabilities out of El Paso, Texas. And we have a dedicated phone number for that team that I would encourage people to use so that you don't get the runaround. You get directly to a team that knows what you're talking about. And that phone number is 1-844-762-1301.
Awesome. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, Tony.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. I mean, Tony, did you have anything else before we, I mean, this is great. I'm excited.
We got to let Peter go. He's got to be accessible, but thanks.
I don't ever like to let Peter go. He's always so entertaining.
Well, there are more podcasts to come, and I, hopefully, at some point we can do this again and I'll have more updates to share. Spectrum Access, at the very least is, you know, just such an important innovation product for us that will hopefully spin off into multiple innovation efforts, but there's a ton coming for that project there. If you use Spectrum Access and you've noticed that the last several months there hasn't been any new content, we're doing a massive overhaul of the sort of back end of the app to the way that we process files and get them ingested into the application. And all of that is really to help speed up the way that we, what we call ingest files into the Spectrum Access app so that we can be able to take in more files at any given point and have a more automated way to do that. So hopefully by the time this year ends, we will have completed that and dropped a bunch of new content into the app. So stay tuned for that. And we do have a notification option now for Spectrum Access users. When there is new content, it'll send you a notification alert letting you know that there's more content in there so you don't wonder. So keep a lookout for that.
You can binge on our day off on New Year's Day.
That's right.
Down in a cold, wintry room and just watch movies all day. Awesome.
Thanks. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. And guys, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions or want to learn anything about what we're doing here at AFB, just visit afb.org and we will keep you posted on all things coming up for the end of the year and for next year too, because we have a lot of good stuff coming up. Thanks guys for joining us. Have a good one. See ya.
You're listening to the Inform and Connect podcast, a production of the American Foundation for the Blind. Questions or comments on this episode? Email communications@afb.org. Feel free to visit our website as well, where you can make a donation to help support the work of AFB by going to afb.org/donate. AFB, creating a world of no limits.